Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. And when you find that, let's work on our memory verses here a little bit. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, 6. Okay, so we'll be doing Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Let's go through this one once together. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And then we go to Isaiah 40, 31. Isaiah 40, 31. Let's go through this one time. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, 31. Okay, and then Isaiah 41, 10. Okay, we'll do this one once. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41, 10. Okay, then Habakkuk 3, 18. Habakkuk 3, 18. We'll go through this one time as well. Habakkuk 3, 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:18. Okay, then John 17, 17. John 17, 17. Okay, we'll go through this one time. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. Okay, then Ephesians 4, 15. Ephesians 4, 15. Let's go through this one two times together then. Ephesians 4, 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4, 15. Ephesians 4, 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4, 15. Proverbs 16, 6. Proverbs 16, 6. Okay, let's go through this one two times. Proverbs 16, 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 16, 6. Proverbs 16, 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 16, 6. Okay, then Proverbs 22, 21. Proverbs 22, 21. Go through this one twice. Proverbs 22, 21. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Proverbs 22, 21. 22:21. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Proverbs 22:21. And then Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1. And let's go through this one two times. Psalm 27:1. And, oh, by the way, let's just leave off the introduction here to the Psalm of David. So let's just start with the Lord there. So, Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. And then the same chapter here, Psalm 27:11. Now let's go through this one twice. Psalm 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Psalm 27:11. Psalm 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Psalm 27:11. And then still in this chapter, verse 14. Psalm 27:14. We go through this one twice. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Okay, then James 1, verses 19 and 20. James 1, verses 19 and 20. These verses were turned in as well. We'll go through this one twice. James 1, 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James 1, 19 and 20. James 1, 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James 1, 19 and 20. And last set turned in, James 1, 21 and 22. James 1, 21 and 22. Go through these twice. James 1, 21 and 22. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of godliness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1, 21 and 22. James 1, 21 and 22. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1, 21 and 22. Appreciate all those verses turned in that we can work on and God can use in our lives to help us, guide us, strengthen and encourage us. Okay, so back in Colossians chapter 1. And Brother Beery, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Just the instruction you give us, the direction that you give to us, the comfort and peace that you give to us through your words. And Lord, we are grateful. Lord, we ask that you would help us to continually hide these things in our heart, that they would be there in those moments when we need them. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to teach us from your word tonight. Please draw us closer to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Colossians 1 and verse 9. We've been looking at this passage, I guess, the previous four Wednesday nights, but Colossians 1, 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to what? To pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might, what? Walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving what? Thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of what? Darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood. Even what? The forgiveness of sins. So we continue with this series about prayer. We've looked at number one, prayer to be filled with the knowledge of His will from verse 9, prayer to walk worthy of the Lord from verse 10, prayer to be strengthened with all might from verse 11. Prayer to the Father, giving thanks to Him, first part of verse 12. And then number five, tonight, if you're taking notes, prayer to the Father for being made partakers of the light and delivered from the power of darkness. And that begins in verse 12 there. Last week we looked at giving thanks unto the Father. And then, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. I wonder how many Ukrainians tonight would wish that they could be translated into the United States of America and have peace, even though we have all kinds of problems here. But I wonder how many Ukrainians, what they would give for the news, listen, we are transferring you to the United States of America. You're going to live there now. It would be just an unbelievable thing, I'm sure, for many of them. I'm not sure how many people really understand verses 12 and 13 anymore. Once again, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in what? Light. Who hath delivered us from the what? Power of darkness. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. I'm not sure how many people really understand the difference between light and dark anymore. It's so vague out there. You know, the Bible tells us that in the end times, people are going to have a religion, per se, but no power. What does that mean? Let's go to 2 Timothy. Hold your place here. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. The Bible tells us in the end times that this is going to be the case. What does it mean? 2 Timothy 3, and let's start in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, 1. This know also that in the last days, what? Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without what? Natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of what? Pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of what? Godliness, but denying what? The power thereof. From such turn away. So it closes out this thought here. This is what's happening in the end times. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So there are going to be in the end times people that claim to be religious that are denying the power of a changed life. And you see all of the sins there mentioned. So that's going to be like, oh yeah, I know the Lord. And I mean, they're living just in sin. How many people really understand that when we get saved, let's go back there to Colossians chapter 1. There is a huge transfer going on here. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, what? In light, who hath delivered us from what? The power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of what? His dear Son. When we get saved, we are switching kingdoms. We are going from the kingdom of darkness and sin to the kingdom of light, partakers of the heavenly inheritance. Now, what sin is there going to be in heaven? None. None whatsoever. Have you ever asked someone, why do you want to go to heaven? Well, what would they answer? Well, because everything's perfect there. So do you think everyone in heaven then does God's will, follows God's will, follows the Bible? This is an eternal book. Do you think everyone in heaven then is following the Bible? Absolutely. Well, then, why are so many people who claim to be religious arguing about they don't have to follow the Bible? Are we not in the end times? We see all around us people that claim to know God, but for some reason they don't seem to be transferred into the kingdom of light. Now, don't get me wrong, none of us are perfect. We are so far from perfect. In fact, the more spiritual we become, the more we see our own utter failure is what we see. I can remember when Sister Miller was getting close to going to be with the Lord. She was kind of half out of it, but in the hospital, she just kept praying, like, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Were there some deep, dark secrets in Sister Miller's life? I don't think so. I don't know anything. How I should know, as the scripture says. But no, I just think that moment when Sister Miller was getting close to meet the Lord, she was like Isaiah. Well, notice in chapter 6 of Isaiah. As we draw nigh to that, we just see our own. What we really are is what we see. In Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne where? High and lifted up. I tell you, people want to drag Jesus down into to the mud and the sin today, but no, he is high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, how holy are we? Well, you know, when we get saved, we are justified. We are declared positionally, we are declared holy. We're declared to be saints. That's our position through what? The blood of Jesus Christ. But how well do we practice that? That's our position in Christ. But what is the practical level of obeying that? Verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, what? Woe is me. A lot of times people get all hyped up emotionally and wow, wow, wow. Well, what Isaiah said is, woe is me. For I am undone, because I am a man of what? Unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah saw himself for what he is. And we've been praying for revival. And as we pray for revival, we need to be ready for God to show us what we are. What sinful creatures. Right after Jesus gave the gospel to Nicodemus, let's go to John 3:16. We often think of John 3:16 as a favorite child's verse, and many times it is. But Jesus actually gave this to a grown man, which we would call a professor of the Bible, is what we would call him today. And that's who Jesus actually gave this very simple verse to. Why? Because Nicodemus needed it. He was religious, but lost. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. He that believeth on him is what? Not condemned. But he that believeth not is what? Condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And what is it that is stopping people? God loves them, verse 16. Verse 17, he could have come and condemned us all, but that's not why he came. He came to die for us. So verse 18, we can have on our account not condemned instead of condemned already. Then what is stopping people from partaking of this salvation, receiving Christ? Well, Jesus went on to tell Nicodemus, verse 19. And this is the condemnation that what? Light. Remember, we're talking about light in Colossians 1. Going from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. This is the condemnation that light is coming to the world. And men loved what? Darkness rather than light. Why? Because what? Their deeds were evil. They don't like the light. They love the darkness. Why? Because they're living in darkness. They're living in sin. Verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil, what? Hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. Brother Needham, on the way back from Cameroon on the plane, was talking to a businessman from the Congo. And so he started to talk to him and offered him a gospel tract. The man wouldn't take it. So anyway, on the continuance of the flight, Brother Needham was talking to him about the Lord. And so Brother Needham offered it once again at the end. And then the man took it. So pray for this businessman that he would get saved. So verse 21 then. But he that doeth what? Truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So back in Colossians 1, when we get saved, we are switching kingdoms. We're transferring from darkness to light. And that transfer just has to show in our lives. And once again in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. You see, he's the one that makes us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's the one, he's the only one that can give us that desire. Last night, late, I came up here to upload the Bible reading scripture, and when I went to leave, there was a truck, a pickup truck, out by the sign, and the guy had a flat tire. And so I stuck around, and it was an older truck, and he had a spare, but then the spare he got out was flat. And so I came in here. I said, you know, I think we got a can of fix-it flat. Well, first of all, he had a battery-operated little air pump. And, well, he ran that out of juice, and the tire still wasn't pumped up. And so I said, I think we have a can of fix-it flat that we take with us on the float. I came in here. He took it out there, and it kind of blew apart the foam stuff inside, and so that didn't work. So I had to go home and get the air compressor. So anyway, I got back home about midnight anyway. But the man came into the church, and I didn't say a word about music. And he said, you know, and he started talking about a band, and he said, you know, that really, I can't remember his exact words, but he said, you know, that really doesn't fit with a Christian life, does it? And I said, no, it doesn't. You know, that's what we're praying. We are praying that God would just bring a deep sense of our sin, of the lost and their sin. Just instead of justifying our sin, instead of the unsaved justifying their sin, we are praying that God would bring a great sense of our sin, where we would flee to him to confess it, where lost people would flee to him for salvation and forgiveness and cleansing from their sin. And I just found it interesting, the things he brought up. He promised to be here Sunday night. We'll see. When we get saved, we're transferring kingdoms. It's a different life. Let's go back to John 3 for a moment. John 3, verse 21. John 3, 21. The Bible says here, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, when our heart is really after God, when we are hungering and thirsting after God, we're just willing to admit, hey, this is sin, this is wrong, and you know what? I just want to be thoroughly right with God. Notice in Colossians again, verse 1, Colossians 1:12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we go back to that question, asking people, are you going to heaven and you die? Well, I hope so. That's the answer of a lot of people. Well, why do you hope so? Why do you want to go to heaven? Well, it's perfect there, isn't it? Oh, what do they do there? Everyone there obeys God. And you know what? And we don't have this old sin nature anymore when we're in heaven. God does a miracle work in us. And, you know, people in heaven don't sin anymore. Well, how wonderful that will be. So people want to go there because it's perfect. Well, the only reason it's perfect is because there's one who created it who is perfect. It's God. And he's making us new. New creatures. Then why is it? I go back to my question. Why is it that so many people who profess to know God, profess that they hope at least they're going to heaven, why do they hold on to their sin? Not just hold on to their sin, but excuse their sin and argue for their sin and try to say, well, that doesn't matter to God. Well, is that behavior, whatever it is that going to be in heaven? It wouldn't be a perfect place if it was. You know, Disneyland, Disney World, I don't know which one it is in Florida, has long billed itself as a kingdom of magic and light. But it's long been a kingdom of darkness there. In the early 90s, they started with their sodomite parades down there. And even though a lot of it hasn't really been official, they've still advertised it a lot. And I guess this year some of it is going to be official. And, of course, the Disneyland there has recently been speaking out against the Florida governor and the legislature because they passed a bill trying to protect children in schools from their sodomite agenda being taught to them. And of course, Disneyland or Disney World. Does anyone know which it is? World. Disney World's in Florida. Okay. Is Disneyland the one in California? Okay. Okay. Thank you. So Disney World has really come out strong because the legislature passed that bill and the governor signed it. And so they said they were going to fight it. Well, now it's come out that they own, what is it, like 40-some square miles in Florida. And way back, I don't know if they said like 40 years ago, 40 or 50 years ago, they were granted I can't think of what you call it, but in Florida, that whole 40-some square miles, they would be under the control of it. That was their area. Pardon me? Okay, self-governance. Okay. So they've had that all these years. And, you know, now they're speaking out against the government in Florida. So the governor down there put forth that that special recognition should be pulled because really they're not like, even though they have all the rights of a city, of a municipality. And, you know, the government doesn't tax cities. Cities tax the people in their own area. Because cities are supposed to be nonprofit. Well, Disney World is not a nonprofit entity. They are a profit corporation and just happen to be a very large one. So anyway, the governor mentioned that the other day, and then that very next day, the Senate, I believe it was, passed the thing revoking that, and I guess it has to come before the House there in Florida now. But this is just it. We are in the midst of a nation and a world that is fighting fiercely against righteousness. And so we are praying for revival. We're praying for a great awakening. We are praying that we would be like Isaiah and see ourselves for what we are, very unholy compared to God. And we are praying that God would bring upon lost sinners a great sense of their sin. You know, it's hard to deal with a sin until we admit it's a sin. That's the first step. Notice with me in Genesis 19. You know, with the people of Sodom, and of course the Bible tells us that the days of the Lord's return is going to be like the days of Lot. So, and we are seeing that in Genesis 19. Notice what happens when Lot says that their lifestyle is wicked. Notice what happens. Genesis 19:4. But before they lay down, this was Lot and the angels, before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not what? So wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Can you imagine a dad saying that about his daughters? It just shows you. I know the New Testament tells us that all these unlawful deeds, it vexed Lot in his heart. But this statement he makes is like over the top. It's just unbelievable. But verse 9, this is how the people respond. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn. Sojourn means a temporary stay. And now he will needs be what? A judge. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever brought up what the Bible says and someone says, don't judge me? Oh, yeah, you'll hear that a lot. And Lot heard it. This one fellow came into sojourn and he will needs be a judge. Why? Because he said in verse 7, I pray you, brother, do not so wickedly. So they go on, he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. So it was only the angels that rescued him there. So we need God to do a work in hearts, because this is the response that we get too. When we challenge sinners on their sin, that's the challenge, or that's what we get thrown back. Don't judge me. Jesus faced this in John chapter 7 with his own brothers, his own earthly brothers. Joseph and Mary went on to have more children. And this is who's talking to Jesus here in John 7, verse 1. John 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His who? Brother. Now these are his earthly brothers that Joseph and Mary had. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren what? Believe in him. So his own earthly brothers did not believe in him. What did Jesus say in verse 6? Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot what? Hate you, but me it what? Hateth. Because I what? Testify of it that the works thereof are what? Evil. So Jesus said to his earthly brothers, you know, the world doesn't hate you, but it does hate me because I testify to the world that their works are evil. Verse 7. That's why they hate me. Jesus didn't pull any punches with those scribes and Pharisees and priests. So we're praying for God's power. It's God that has to do a series of things in people's lives to bring them, to show them their need. Just like the man last night having the flat tire. Why did he have a flat tire at a church, by a church? Why did I just happen to come up here, be here when he had that flat tire? You know, as we pray for revival, we need to expect opportunities to speak for the Lord. And so we need to be ready. Let it not surprise us. Let us not complain. So many times last night he said to me, oh, I'm so sorry. And I brought my air compressor up here and the air chuck wouldn't work. It was just air was shooting through it. And So I says, well, I'll go home and get another air check. And he says, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. It just went like that. And I said, no problem. And he says, I'll come and I'll replace that can of Fix-A-Flat and I'll put it in the offering. And he says, I don't mean I'll put the can in the offering. He says, I'll just put money in the offering. You can buy a new can. I said, don't worry about the money. Not worried about that at all. But as we pray, we in our lives need to be asking the Lord to search us and show us those things in our lives that are not pleasing to Him. And then expect opportunities to speak for the Lord. Have your gospel tracts with you and be ready to speak. Just, you know, use those as an opener and let's continue to pray for revival. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us tonight. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. Lord, if there should be any here tonight that have not yet received Christ, help them to realize, Lord, that the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. We deserve to die and suffer punishment for all eternity for our sins. But we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life and died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. And Lord, help them to realize that if they will turn to you, turn from darkness, turn to the light, that you will cleanse them, that you will forgive them, that you will save them from their sins, that you will transfer them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And may we not be like that multitude in the end times who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. That strange phenomena of professing to know Christ but living like we're still in the kingdom of darkness. Lord, we pray for a great revival. We pray for a great awakening, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.